the fig tree and all the trees. So we're going to take under consideration some of the things that have happened in our lifetime, in my lifetime, and which we are able to see with not only through the eye of faith, but visibly. And we know that the rebirth of the State of Israel in 1948 was a miracle of history. Never before has a nation been destroyed and its people dispersed to the ends of the earth, and then nearly 2,000 later regathered to their homeland and reestablished as a nation. When Israel declared itself an independent state on May the 14th, 1948, and this great miracle occurred. And as we study our volumes, brethren, we recall that the pastor, long before this nation was became independent, wrote about the return of Israel, as we read in the third volume. And this is what the pastor foresaw from prophecy, which was to take place. So this is another indication, brethren, that all prophecy is being fulfilled and according to God's plan. It will not be fulfilled sooner nor later, but exactly in time. But then we don't end it there, because the Lord has told us also that not to end our observations with the nation of Israel. We are to observe all the trees, all the nations. A small nation has come to prominence in our day. The time has come to give prominence to all other large and small nations to gain independence and recognition for self-rule and liberty. For the time has come where all will be granted their liberty, and especially in the kingdom they'll have the individual liberties. This is the program of our Lord, is to set up the kingdom, and that everyone may be free and rejoice and to become participants in the kingdom. Gentile rule was permitted to 1914. Many great nations lorded over the smaller nations. But the time has come to change this order. As we listen to radio and watch television and see the clamor for liberty and the freedom as a sign of the great jubilee trumpet of liberty sounding since our Lord's return in 1874, we see the fall of many of the strong countries in the world, for instance, Germany, Italy, Spain, England, Russia, and just naming a few. And I'm sure that there's many that brethren have read about that have received their independence since our Lord's second presence. And they have been melted down to their own size. And many of the other nations are clamoring for their independence. Not some of the trees, but our Lord says all the trees will be affected. Let the weak say, I am strong. Joel 3:10. In the Ezekiel in 17:24, we read that all the trees of the field, all the people of the world, shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree. The proud and haughty nations that have exalted, and have exalted the low tree, the humble nations, and the one that has dried up, the nation of Israel, which was once dry and is becoming vigorous again. So we see, brethren, that this is taking place. And the Lord has spoken and has done it. Let the field, the world, be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees, all the people of the wood, rejoice. Mankind will come back to rejoicing. Psalms 96:12. The whole world is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing as a result of the establishment of God's kingdom. And this is the message that we have, brethren, that the time is coming when this time of trouble will be over, and then the kingdom will be inaugurated, and people will begin to not to learn of war anymore, but they will make their weapons into plowshares. The prospect, even now, puts a new song in our mouths. And they sung, as it were, a new song, a clear understanding of God's plan of the ages. And all these incidents that are happening in our day, brethren, are just another link, another sign that the old order must be dealt with. It has to go down. And we have the message for mankind that there's something better for the world. The world, the Lord wants to destroy this which is old. He wants to give them something new, a new earth, a new heaven, and a new earth, new ruling power. And no man could learn that song except 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they that which they were not defiled with women, with corrupt churches, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, being for the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they were without fault, keeping their garments clean by going to the Lord often in prayer before the throne. Revelations 14:3-5. There are divisions among brethren today. Let us make sure that we are of the 144,000 class, striving to make our calling and election sure, brethren. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains, kingdoms, and the hills, the smaller nations, shall break before you in singing, and all the trees of the field, all the people of the world, shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn, the wicked who want to injure shall come up the fir tree, the evergreen, the balsamic influence that is healthful and refreshing. And instead of the briar, the wicked who now flourish shall come up the myrtle trees, the beautiful, harmless, and fragrant order that's going to be instituted in Christ's kingdom, as we read in Isaiah 55:12-13. Yea, the fir trees rejoice. It is an evergreen tree. And it refers to the Lord's people now. In Reprint 13:64, the fir tree also represents mankind during the millennial blessings, possessing everlasting life, having inherent grace and fatness. His leaf fadeth never. Then we have the myrtle tree. It is an evergreen. Yields sweet perfume, more exquisite, dainty, pleasing than that of the rose. And in Reprint 35:97, we read, instead of the briar, with its thorns reaching forth to attack and ensnare those attracted by its sweet odor, shall come up the myrtle trees, the beautiful and the harmless. People shall learn war no more, and they shall not hurt or destroy in my holy mount. And these are the promises, brethren, that are set forth before us, that are to be established here on earth. Thus does the Lord contrast the condition of the world today. Men and women who are really thorns and briars in word and deed, injuring others. And the contrast is when we see someone who is peaceable, strong, stalwart, sturdy, once full of life and vigor. And we could also apply this fragrance of love of the brethren now. The fir and the myrtle trees represent mankind during the millennium, yielding good influences and possessed everlasting life. And as our theme text says, that forbearing one another in love and to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. This is our mission, brethren, wherever we are, that we should strive for that. We also have the olive tree. Most abundant in Judea, almost every village has its olive grove for the production of olive oil, which has its various uses. The fruit is a little smaller than a plum. The wood is hard and with beautiful veins and often used to make fine furniture, etc., cabinets, etc. A green olive tree represented the Jewish nation. The good olives and the wild olives, which represent the Gentiles, were grafted into the natural, beginning with Cornelius. The olive tree as a whole then represents spiritual Israel, the apostles and all the Jews who received Christ in sincerity, and the remainder from the Gentiles are from the Gentiles. And we believe, dear brethren, that as our Lord came to visit the Jewish nation, he came to his own, but his own received him not. And we believe that most of the church will be gathered from the Gentiles, as we notice that the full number was not selected from the Jewish nation. In Zechariah 4:3, we read about the two olive trees, the two witnesses. And Revelation 11:3 represents the Old and the New Testaments, also representing fleshly Israel and spiritual Israel, with its prophecies and types, and the New Testament with its explanations, encouragements, and promises. And in Hosea 14:6, we read, "His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon." And Lebanon is a mountain range about 90 miles long in North Palestine, where fig trees, olive trees, evergreen, oak, mulberries, cedar grow, which produce a beautiful fragrance. The trees of Mount Lebanon have very sturdy roots, which picture the development and establishment of the true spiritual Israel, the Christ. So we see there, brethren, that when our Lord mentioned that about the trees, the trees also represent nations, people, and also is a picture of, in the spiritual sense, of those who have become branches of the vine, as we will read a little further on. In Jeremiah 17:7-8, we read that blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see or feel no alarm when the heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall be careful, will have no worries in the year of drought, neither shall cease yielding fruit. And this represents, brethren, those that are consecrated, that they will always be receiving the nourishment and the refreshment from the water, from the truth, from all our meetings, our conventions, and our association with our brethren, that we will always be ready to give an answer for our hope and also to be used in the Lord's service. A tree that is well rooted in the earth is hard to uproot. It has wonderful strength. So it is with the Christian whose faith has been properly established. He should be so fixed, so established in the promises of God's word, that no wind of doctrine could overturn his faith, as we read in Ephesians 3:17-19. And I think, brethren, that once we have come into the truth and have learned the foundations of truth and the path that leads to consecration and to full understanding of the plan, it doesn't change. And when we are come across where the winds of doctrine begin to blow at us, we are fixed. Our roots are fixed, brethren, and we do not change. That we believed in the truth at one time, and then we have to change to something different. Truth is truth, and this God has only one plan, one faith, one baptism, and one hope. Whoever is continually looking around for something new is thus demonstrating the fact that he is not established in the faith. Having once made sure that the divine plan is the plan of God, we should not permit ourselves to be moved away from that position. And I think this is something that is happening among brethren, that, as the brethren have already mentioned in some of the discourses, that the trials are coming, have always been among the those who are consecrated, and as we are studying in the third volume, that the tests are upon us every day, and there's going to be a separation work. Sometimes we'd like to have all the brethren together and all dwell in love, but we can't, because we have to be able to understand all the doctrines that are in the Bible, brethren, all the prophecies to the best of our ability, and we can see their fulfillment. And I think those who are rooted in understanding God's plan can see how the plan of God is being fulfilled. And as we mentioned, one thing that the Lord provided for us was that He gave us health. He gave us the pastor. And now the church during the whole gospel age had the seven messengers, and they had the truth in their season, which helped them to be faithful unto the end. And how grand it is that we have this great help that the Lord has prepared this table for us, that we can partake of it and know, and with we can pick up a volume, we can pick up a reprint, we have the comments, and which help us to find something a lot easier, and we can build our faith and continue to be refined and to grow more in the likeness of Jesus. No child of God can be carried about by every wind of doctrine, nor can he indulge in a morbid or unhealthy curiosity as to what this or that theory may teach. To do so is very dangerous to the spirituality of a Christian. Either he has never been established in Christ, or else he has fallen into a spiritual decline. And this is, as we read in Ephesians 4:14. A tree also needs rains and storms for its development. So the child of God needs varied experiences and sometimes change of environment to best develop all the fruits of the Holy Spirit, brethren. The great husbandman knows just what experiences and surroundings each one of his tree needs. How much sunshine, how much rain, how much cold, how much heat, how much pruning, and he will supply just what is best adapted to each case. And I think we can all attest to that, brethren, that we can see that our experiences are such that are helping us to grow if we are obedient to His leadings. He knows how to vary these conditions, environments, etc., without disturbing the process of rooting and upbuilding, but developing. So we need to keep ourselves continually under the care of the skillful husbandman and earnestly cooperate with him that we may grow and become strong and immovable, firmly established. The Lord will not accept little undeveloped sprouts for the kingdom, but He wants those that have grown and matured strong, sturdy trees of righteousness, as we read in Isaiah 61:3. And what helps we have, brethren, that as we study the first volume, the plan of God, and all the various lessons that are for us in that volume. Then when we study volume 2, the time is at hand, the chronology, and we see how that has been fulfilled, the times we're living in, especially the 1,335 days, which is up to the time of the Lord's second presence, and at the time when our Lord gave us when the seventh messenger was on the scene. Then we have the third volume, Thy Kingdom Come, and about cleansing the sanctuary, about the work of the harvest. We have the restoration of Israel. We have the explanation of the pyramid, and the great. And we're fortunate to be in Israel and to see the great pyramid, and we thought it was great. When I was in the hotel, just across from the pyramid. When we were there, I just stood there with awe, looking at that great monument of stone, and that's what's mentioned in Isaiah that it'll be a help to us to understand, and when we see all the meaning of what's involved in the pyramid, and that relates to Ephesians 1:10, where the Lord wants to gather all in Christ, both in heaven and in earth. And then the pyramid picture shows us that very plainly. And then we have the fourth volume, the Battle of Armageddon, and the necessity of what we see coming about in the world, because there's no other way. And the explanation, and we had letters from overseas, and a lot of the JWs have written to us, because at one time that was a scare tactic for them about Armageddon, and everybody was flocking to them, thinking that if they're going to be with them, that they're going to be spared from Armageddon. But when they began to realize what the meaning of Armageddon really was, they said they received a great blessing from that volume. And then we have the fifth volume, on spiritual things, the atonement between God and man. And this is one of the volumes we're studying now, about the Holy Spirit, about death, Sheol, grave, oblivion, and so on. And that's in the sixth volume, the new creation, the new family that God is preparing to for himself, that they should be with Jesus to help uplift mankind. And we, going through all these experiences, brethren, will be able to help them. So we see that for us, or as pictured in the tree, the depth and the spread of the roots of a tree are shown by the vigor and fruitage of the tree. So the Christian's faith must be deeply grounded in Christ, and thus shall we grow up into him, learning more and more what is the divine will expressed in him. The rooting process is unseen. We can't see the roots, and can be judged only by its outward manifestations. And when we see our brethren, we never know who they are or how well they have developed. But once we meet them and talk with them, and then we see how they persevere in the truth and how they are of great help to the brethren, we see that they see the growth in them. When there is good foliage, there is good rooting, but the growth must not stop there. Fruit must be born. As we read in Colossians 2, 6, and 7, to be rooted and upbuilt in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. The Christian will not only be a branch in the tree, but will also bear rich clusters of fruits of the Spirit, which should become more choice in quality and size year by year. And I think this convention was, the theme text was much emphasis was laid upon our doing of the Lord's will, and that we should produce the fruits. That as we go on in our consecrated life, that we should show more of this until the end of our course. Then we read that those that are in the truth, brethren, they have to be of a good spirit. Even though they go through various trials, they cannot be one that are going to complain or murmur, but always are going about through the world with a quarrel against this, that, or the other, or what's happening in the world, but rather that we should possess a kindly spirit. It is the best recommendation we can give to ourselves, to our brethren, and to the world, is the power of the truth. And this is something, brethren, that the brethren are active in, that they are helping the brethren. The brethren have printed numerous books, the volumes, and now we see that the brethren in other countries are receiving the volumes. They're being printed to help them, that they may know what the truth is. In Europe, for instance, there were those that would ministers that would be traveling around, and they'd teach them all these various doctrines, and the people didn't really know what the truth was. But once they receive the volumes, they can have it in their own home. They can be persuaded. They can grow. They can read and be fully persuaded in their own minds. The Lord's people should be kindly disposed toward all men, in the church especially, and also toward all those with whom we have come in contact. And the Master has has taught us that except ye be converted. And that word converted means, brethren, converted from the spirit of the world to the spirit of Christ, and become as little children in meekness and teachableness, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. We shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven unless we become such. Its hallowed influence should radiate from us, not only among the brethren, but also upon the world. The love of God received into a life brings peace and harmony and happiness. It makes noble husbands. It makes tender wives. It makes loving children, good neighbors, and it pours oil on troubled waters and all of our experiences, bringing blessings wherever it goes. So this is our mission, brethren, that we should grow and flourish like a tree. And then we have the illustration of the palm tree. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, Psalms 92:12. And they, the Israelites, came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters, Exodus 15:27. The Lord provides seasons of rest and refreshments by the Christian's way. God's spiritual Israelites are not tried above what they are able to bear, and this is found in Reprints 52:78. The 12 wells of water typify the 12 apostles. The 70 palm trees typify the 70 whom our Lord commissioned, whose ministries typified the public services of the gospel age. And we read that in Luke 10:1 and Reprints 40:11. And we notice that the palm tree grows straight to a height of 100 feet or more, typifying the Christian whose growth is heavenward. We are to set our affections above. The Apostle Paul was determined, saying, "One thing I do," as we read in Philippians 3:13-14. Jesus, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And as the Apostle mentions, that ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, brethren, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. A palm tree is always green, which represents life everlasting. So we have these different pictures, brethren, representing how the trees represent nations, and also representing people. And representing those of the consecrated. And we read in Revelation 22:1, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the trees of life, which had 12 manners of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations." And this beautifully represents the blessings and refreshment of restitution which will issue forth from the New Jerusalem, the kingdom of Messiah, the tree of life, recalling paradise from whence Adam was driven out on account of sin. And we believe, as we read in Isaiah, second chapter in the third verse, that the law shall come out of Zion, and the word shall come out of Jerusalem. And we are happy that Israel is being prepared, the ancient worthies have been prepared, the church is being prepared, and as soon as she is completed, brethren, then we believe that the earthly phase of the kingdom will begin. Fruit for every month, fruits of the Spirit to sustain life, the abundance of instruction and nourishment, mental and physical, will be given to all mankind. And we believe some of the inventions, some of the all the television and means of communication will be for all the people. They'll be able to. We believe that in the kingdom that the message will come and people will be able to learn. And they will. I believe television was invented for that purpose, that you can sit in your own living room, brethren, and learn much. And they will. It'll be something used that everyone will be able to profit by. And every month represents a continuous help and instruction will be given to adapt to the changing conditions of men as they are brought upward toward the perfection and the highway of holiness, thus restoring man to his first estate, perfection, which he lost in Eden. So we think, brethren, that the conditions in the when the resurrection takes place, it's not going to be something that's going to be easy, and that's shown by the Jubilee year. It took a whole year until everything was accomplished, and it's going to take the whole 1,000 years to educate the people. There'll be a lot of debates. There'll be a lot of information. There'll be a lot of revealments. There'll be a lot of judgments being made of those who did evil, and they will have to repent and fit into the order that's going to be established in the kingdom. Before the nations, the world will be ready for the blessings from the New Jerusalem. They must pass through a period of very deep humiliation, a time of trouble. And as brethren have mentioned, and we have already seen that this September the 11th was one of those that when we watched the television that so many people went to church. So many people, as already mentioned, put out their flags. And this is serious, brethren. This is very serious. And we don't know what's before us. But the Lord has His way. And this is an indication to us that sometimes we think, well, nothing's happening. It's 127 years, and who knows what's going to happen. But we can see incidents happening overnight. Russia fell in 1 week's time. This incident took one day. And look at the changes it has made. Thousands of unemployed people. Thousands of lives lost. And the Lord could do many things in His own way in a short period of time. And not only is He going to destroy, but the promise is, brethren, that He's going to rebuild. He's going to bring back. And this is the beauty. This is the beauty of when people will... When mankind will be able to see their loved ones again and to be able to live in peace and in harmony and learn from the experiences of evil. And I think this is such a great lesson for us, brethren, that the permission of evil is such a great tool that the Lord is using. And God could destroy Satan, but He's using him. He's using him for, as already Brother Bob brought out in his, that others will be helping the Lord to for this order to be pass away. In the present life, the Lord's people have a ministry of comfort to perform now toward all those who that mourn in Zion, towards all the Lord's people who are in any tribulations, to help them in their spiritual growth. And as the Apostle says, that is why it is so important, brethren. And I think we realize that even when we come to our meetings, sometimes maybe there's not many, sometimes there's more. We came to this convention, and the blessing that we have received, I'm sure that all the brethren went home, they were blessed. They can have, now you can have tapes and listen to the to the discourses again, and to learn more, brethren, and change our ways, and I think the message I received from this convention is that we have to watch every little detail what we're doing in our consecrated life. Some things that maybe we thought were not very important, but they are very important to help us in our spiritual growth. We must be holy. We must become holy, brethren, as God is holy. We can also comfort the world with the words of Zephaniah 2 and 3. seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth. It may be that ye may be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. We have a message also towards the newspaper ads or whatever we have. It's not only the consecrated that are affected, but people read this, and it's a comfort to them. And this is something that we should spend our time on and all our means to proclaim the kingdom. Branches relating to Christians. This was brought up already partly, but in John 15:1, Jesus is the true vine. God, our Heavenly Father, is the husbandman or the vineyard owner. And we are the branches, brethren. Every branch in me, every brother and every sister that has consecrated through the merit and help and come under this of the Spirit of our Lord, that beareth not fruit, cannot be recognized by our Heavenly Father. Consecration opens the door, someone coming into the truth, but more is required, and that is shown, as we already know, in the tabernacle, in the court condition leading to the first veil. More is required, brethren, that we bear fruits of the Spirit, that we don't become suckers, professors only. Some may become branches, but bear no fruit. So we must grow to maturity, brethren. We must produce fruit daily. It is the transforming work that is going on within us. If we do not transform, we are either dying or dead branches. Sooner or later, we'll be cut off. And we can gauge ourselves, brethren, how we are doing. Whether we are making progress, whether we are learning the lessons that at one time we had a hard time to overcome, and striving to cut off everything that is not would not be suitable in the Lord's sight. And in John we read that He taketh away. God will cut off from fellowship in the vine. And we are not competent to judge others. God knows who will be of the body of Christ. And our present state is only on probation. It is a trial or testing period. There's the danger, brother, that we can lose our position. And we have to fear that no man taketh our crown. We are replacements. And somebody else that's more zealous can take our crown. So we have to be very careful that we do not lose our crowns. There's a danger to those members who are failing to fulfill their office of being cut off from the body, and others more worthy appointed and replaced. And our duty is for development, arriving, striving to make our calling and election sure. And in my days, brethren, we've had many conventions, many trials and testings, and yet we've seen brethren that have been proven themselves loyal to the end of their course. Many brethren fell away. Many brethren were discouraged, as we have the example of the parable of the sower. Some fell by the wayside. Some were choked by thorns, and some the birds plucked away. So the only ones that remained were those that were truly consecrated. And every branch, every individual member of Christ that beareth fruit will be blessed. It is a gradual process. Nevertheless, brethren, manifestations of a coming fruitage of love are expected of the Lord quickly after our union with Him. We should be able to reach the mark and stand and to help others, as we read in Reprints 30:20. So as we go along in our consecrated life, we don't know what's before us, brethren, but I'm sure that the Lord will help us. He'll give us strength to bear everything that may come upon us. I think our Lord was helped. in his last hours. He was encouraged by God to press on, and he was faithful to the end. We also purged, cleansed, pruned. The pruning seemed to be the trials and difficulties of life. We have them with ourselves. We have them in the world. We have them with the adversary. Some thoughts that we have from before, some habits that we had that we are having a hard time to get rid of. But we won't get rid of everything, but we have to remain under the robe of Christ's righteousness, that we may continue to be acceptable to the Heavenly Father through faith, vitalized faith, vitalized justification. But these are only for such as are branches in Christ. He prunes away our earthly attachments. One peculiarity of the vine is that it seems to thrive better in proportion as it is pruned. And that is so, brethren, that some trees, when you prune it, they produce more. Even the best of branches in the vine require pruning. Otherwise, they would soon run into wood making, as it is, and not bear any fruit. And it is proper that a vine should grow larger and larger every year. So it is proper that the Lord's people should increase, spread, and broaden year by year in character development. Our Heavenly Father sees the direction we sometimes take, and He nips in the bud many of the positions, propositions, and ambitions that we have. And sometimes He steers us in the way that maybe is not acceptable to us, but later on we realize that it becomes a blessing. So if we have trimmings and prunings that He gives to fruit-bearing branches, let us rejoice that we are in the good husbandman's care and are in good condition. Sometimes these prunings may come by taking away earthly wealth or by hindering cherished plans and schemes or permitting persecutions or sickness for some who were too busy and were laid aside for a season from fruit-bearing. And these are the fruits of the Spirit that we are to develop as outlined in the, by the Apostle in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The first one is love. And we notice in Corinthians, in the 15th chapter, that now abideth faith, hope, and love. But we know that faith and hope will come to an end when we end our course, but love will be with us forever. So love is the principal thing that we have to strive to develop. Joy is another fruit of the Spirit. Peace. Try to have peace with all, or create peace wherever possible. Long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. Or self-restraint. Against such qualities and characteristics of the new nature, there is no law. We can do that as much as possible, brethren, and strive to do as much as we can. So in closing, brethren, these are the flowers of sweet odor which belong to the garden of the Lord. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And this is quite a sobering statement, dear brethren. Let us be on guard that our hearts are right before the Lord. We now grow fruits of the Spirit by daily cultivation if our hearts are the good ground. Those possessing these fruits are not easily offended, but are glad to have such experiences as the Lord's providence may direct to them, especially if these come through the brethren. And I know that that many of the brethren have problems, there are divisions, there are splits, and this is a real test to the Lord wants to prove us if we are His. An evil spirit displaces the fruit of the Spirit. First fruit is love. If we have love to God and to each other, it becomes to us as well as to others an evidence that we have the Spirit of God. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If we are led by the Spirit, brethren, it's an evidence that we are one of those that have been begotten of the Holy Spirit. So may these few words be of comfort to you, dear brethren. We know that Israel has been, the fig tree we saw that Israel come to gain its independence. We see many nations gaining their independence, and also we believe that the whole world will receive the blessings of the kingdom, and above all that, as we are shown in the vine, that we may bear the fruits to be able to be of those who the Lord may be able to use in the kingdom, that we may be a blessing to others. It's been a pleasure to be here at this convention, brethren, and we rejoice, and we're going to bring back the good all the discourses that were given here to the brethren in Winnipeg. They'll be asking, and we'll remember the brethren, and please remember us in our prayers as we will remember you, and may the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Walt.